start off by talking about a conference that you will participate in. Now, this conference is, correct me if I'm wrong on the terminology, the Conference of Mayors, is that the correct title?
It's the Maryland Municipal League, so it's a conference for all municipal elected officials across the state. The Maryland Municipal League is our primary advocacy organization. So they provide support to municipal governments in Annapolis, but they also provide support back to municipal governments in terms of research and education to help, particularly, I think, smaller municipal governments to navigate putting all of this together. Frederick benefits from having a pretty robust workforce, but there are a lot of communities that are much smaller than we are, communities of 10 or 5 or 2,500 people. And that resource that the league provides to help local governments to solve problems, to determine best practices, to pull information from what other municipalities have done and build a network of success has been a really valuable opportunity, I think, for me over the 12 years I've been in office, but I think for the city of Frederick over its history.
All right, Bob, it's 6:15. We'll let you get to your line of questions with the mayor. Let's keep it on track, though. 6:15, we are going to check sports right now.
It is the Morning News Express on WFMD, 301-694-9363. You can text the mayor a question, or you can call up and ask the mayor a question yourself. Because he's here, the mayor of the city of Frederick, Mayor Michael O'Connor, in the studios. Let's talk about, Mayor, the reopening of Frederick, so to speak. I mean, I did three city meetings, and buildings are going to open up in July. I guess kind of give us a timeline. Is it just everything all at one time, or what do we kind of give us a timeline, kind of give us the idea of what's going to happen?
Yeah, we're talking about it as a phased reopening to allow our staff, and when it comes to public meetings, our communication staff and AV crew that has to get those meetings out to the public, to be able to incrementally implement, as we're able to, any of the things that we did during the pandemic that we want to retain. So if that's a public participation via phone or staff reports coming via, you know, Microsoft Teams interface, whatever it might be. So we're opening our buildings to the public again for, you know, the in-person payments of water bills and people to come into the annex and drop a permit, but we're still keeping the online processes available for all of those things. So one of the things that we had to stand up really quickly during the pandemic was a way for us to continue to do business with people when we didn't necessarily have that infrastructure in place. And our staff did a great job of moving quickly to provide alternatives to the public to send a permit requests via email and get those processed electronically, and to more broadly make water payments available for online payment. It's always been something that's there, but, you know, we elevated the profile of that. So we're opening the buildings to the public in July. We'll come back to, after the 4th, we'll come back to in-person meetings with the mayor and board of aldermen in July. So our first public meeting together will be July the 7th. It'll be a workshop, assuming we have any topics to talk about. Things get a little bit quieter in the summertime, so the timing in some respects is good in that regard. We will have a public meeting on July 15th, an evening meeting that'll be in person. We're bringing our other substantial sort of quasi-judicial boards and commissions, the Historic Preservation Commission, Zoning Board of Appeals, and Planning Commission, back in August. So we want to use the Mayor and Board of Aldermen meetings as a bit of a guinea pig for the transition, and then we'll bring some of these other meetings back in August. And then our expectation is that we'll have the public back testifying in person at meetings beginning in September. So we think the phased reopening is a sensible way to gauge what we can hold on to and to work through any kinks. We didn't want to just flip the switch and go back to the way it was pre-pandemic, because I do think we've had some benefits as a result of this, and we want to try and evaluate and retain the best of what those were.
Frederick Mayor Michael O'Connor joining Bob Miller and myself right here on the Morning News Express on WFMD at 6:25. Mayor, are you requiring city employees to be vaccinated? And if you are requiring them to be vaccinated to return back to work, are you asking for proof of that vaccination?
We can't require vaccination as we understand it. I suppose there's some debate about whether we could. We're not going to require vaccination. We're trying to create I guess what I would call is a sort of social contract with our employees that if you're vaccinated, you're free to move about our facilities without a mask. If you're not vaccinated, we're asking you to wear one. If you're working in a public-facing environment where you can't screen from the people that you're dealing with, we're asking you, even if you're vaccinated under those circumstances, to wear a mask just as a reassurance to the public that we have their safety and comfort in mind. So we're trying to continue to the greatest extent possible understand what the guidance is. The numbers are really good in Maryland and nationally. I think in the back of my mind we're all a little concerned about variants and whether or not those will have any kind of significant impact among either people who are vaccinated or potentially people who are. So we just continue to watch and try and take the necessary steps that we need to keep people reassured that we're moving in the right direction. Because
now, I know earlier you mentioned this was months ago when we were talking about people working from home and stuff. How will you handle, or are you looking at ways to handle people who go, you know what, I'm doing my job at home. I really don't want to come back to work. Are you setting out plans for people to continue to be able to work from home?
So we adopted last summer formal alternative work arrangement policies. So we actually fairly quickly, working with our staff and human resources, set up a process where employees could request an alternative work arrangement, and working with their supervisors and managers do that. We want to continue to use that where it's practicable. If we have employees that are functioning well by working out of a home environment versus reporting to a work site, we want to keep that in place because we think it adds some flexibility to the workplace. We think it creates a more positive work relationship. It's always about accountability. We have to make sure that under those circumstances that managers and supervisors have the tools that they need to ensure that employees working remotely are performing the task. And we need to give the employees the support they need to do that. But yes, we want to continue where we're able to keep these alternative work arrangements in place. We don't anticipate very many full-time teleworking opportunities where people are 100% working from home. I think you lose some organizational cohesion when people don't get together and you don't have times when you know that all your staff is going to be together in one place. But we absolutely want to keep some semblance of that in place for the city.
It is Mayor Michael O'Connor in studio live for a Tuesday, June 22nd, 2021. He's Bob Miller. I'm Ryan Hedrick on the Morning News Express. If you have a question or a comment from the mayor, 301-694-9363, 301-694-WFMD.
It's the Morning News Express on WFMD. I know we got to get to traffic, Ryan Hedrick, but so I'll ask a real simple question to the mayor that won't take a whole lot of time to give an answer. The mayor of the city, Mayor Michael O'Connor. What's that, sir?
Do you know me?
Well, I'm thinking this will be pretty easy.
It better be a yes-no question.
No, okay. It's not. Okay. Bears in the city. What are we doing? I mean, does the mayor and the alderman talk about the fact that there's been kind of more of a sightings of bears in the city?
We have not had that conversation. I'm a little disappointed that the bear has more followers than I do.
Do we have a name on the bear yet?
I don't think so.
No?
Frederick Bear.
Maybe we should have him on next week. The Frederick Bear of the city of Frederick.
I don't think he's up for any commenting. I think no. If we had some honey, maybe
he's the strong, silent type.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so I just wondered if you have had conversations. Obviously, we asked the same question of the chief of police, Chief Jason Lando, and he's like, I'm from the city. I don't know. I hand it off to people who know better.
Right.
And I'm just wondering, did we have conversations? Have you been in touch with the, the Department of Natural Resources, or if you've animal control over the, on Rosemont Avenue to kind of find out what, their thought is?
No,
on that.
My understanding with these sorts of things now is try and get them to move back to their natural habitat. So I think animal control has moved away from the idea of like trying to tranquilize the bear and move it, but rather to get it to go in a more natural way. So I think until the bear starts creating more havoc than just the alarm of seeing a bear where you don't expect to see one, it's a fun diversion.
It is 6:38 at WFMD. Let's go to traffic. Good morning.
It is the Morning News Express. My name is Bob Miller. His name is Ryan Hedrick. And the other guy is the important guy. He is the mayor of the city of Frederick, Mayor Michael O'Connor. And Ryan, I give the floor to you, sir.
Yeah. So obviously, Bob, we've talked a lot about the protests. And the last one, we did have Jason Lando on. And I have to commend the mayor for a great hire. He already knows this, but Jason Lando has been spectacular, accountable, candor. His candor is excellent when he comes on the air, very accessible. There were reports, and I was not there, Mayor, so maybe you could clarify some of this. But there were reports that protesters the last time out surrounded police cars, and police did not make any arrests because we understand they were outnumbered. There was also a report on WFMD that sources said in the police department morale is now low after those protests. So can you clarify those things and shed some, like, give us some perspective about what actually happened at those protests?
Well, I mean, I know that you spoke to the police chief, and he's the best person to answer because he's the one with the operational and command expertise to talk about those situations. Anything that I say is coming from the perspective of someone who is not an expert in policing. It's why I hire a police chief. Our department does a fantastic job, I think, of tactically planning for how events are going to go, and they respond in the moment in the context of the situation. We don't necessarily want to show up with every police officer on the force for a protest that may only have 20 or 25 people. A question of what outnumbered is probably depends on, again, the behavior of the people who are involved. And then there's a whole tactical approach to how you selectively make arrests to not place an officer in a position of disadvantage relative either to that situation or to put their fellow officers in some sort of a situation where they have to adjust and backfill. At the end of that, my understanding was there was an intention to try and target some individuals that they believe were sort of the instigators, but the organizers perhaps anticipated well or had a sense and they scattered pretty quickly. And then the police have a decision about how much do you pursue when the level of impact that one of these protesters may have caused was discomforting, it's disquieting, we don't want it, but is it worthy of chasing after someone or trying to, you know, do more in terms of charging into the situation? With regards to the morale, policing is a really difficult profession, and it has only become a more difficult profession over the last year plus. And I'm not surprised about officers in any police department dealing with the morale of everything that is happening in the world and in the world of policing over the last year plus. But I can tell you that my department will have the resources that they need to do the job. We negotiated a four-year contract with our FOP. It's a great contract for our officers. It doesn't solve every problem because we did that before all of these other things happen. But we have been a strong supporter. I've been a strong supporter of our officers, of working with them to get contracts that are good for them, good for the department, good for their families. And so we're going to continue to work with our police officers. We need them to be on the job in the city of Frederick. They're a valuable resource, and I commend them for the work they do every day to keep our residents safe. We continue to see crime levels in the city of Frederick that sit at 5- and 20-year lows, and that is a testament to the professionalism and the accountability and the activity of the Frederick Police Department.
I know that we had a conversation with the sheriff of Frederick County, Chuck Jenkins, and he was talking about his relationship with Jason Lando and how good it was. And I thought, well, you know what? The city is in looking for a new facility, a new home for the Frederick City Police. And I asked the sheriff if maybe, you know, a look at maybe adding them to the LEC. He says there's no room. So I started thinking, well, we had talked in the past about the city police having a new facility. Where do we stand with that? And is there any conversation of maybe making something and partnering again with the city of Frederick, the county, and the state police, and building a new LEC, law enforcement center, to where all entities could be under one house?
So I will tell you that we are actively pursuing property acquisition for a new police headquarters building. What we want, because what has been identified by residents that came together as part of an evaluation of this 4 or 5 years ago during my predecessor's term, is we want to make sure that the primary footprint of our police department remains near the square corner in the city of Frederick. We believe that it's important for that law enforcement presence to be in the heart of the city. We think that's what our residents expect. So one of the challenges with the law enforcement center is it's somewhat remote relative to downtown Frederick. Imagine, for example, the activities of last summer and not having ready access to our police facility being within blocks of where some of those protest activities were taking place. So I appreciate the partnership that has to exist between law enforcement. I'm not sure that a location outside of downtown Frederick is what's best for the city and best for our police department.
Frederick Mayor Michael O'Connor, we literally can ask the mayor question after question. His time is restricted. Our time is restricted by the clock. We'll have to catch up next month, Mayor, and rehash some of these